This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world. Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Emmy Birch, and today we are talking to Eric David Ackerman. Eric is an actor, a composer, a songwriter, a performer, and this conversation is fun because Eric shares his story of how he fell into writing music and how his latest album was created, full of awesome ideas for collaboration. And I was really excited to illuminate Eric's story because it's inspiring to see someone who's doing a lot with their life, but doing it at their own pace. And Eric has some great quotes in this conversation talking about how you can find your collaborators and how you can just get started doing it and doing that at whatever scale or level you're at. But don't listen to me talk about it. I want you to hear the story of Eric David Ackerman and then make sure you go download his latest album, Spiraling. Today, we are talking to a creative mastermind and fantastic human, Eric David Ackerman. Hello, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so excited to finally have this conversation and to get to talk one-on-one with you. This is great.
My little cat. My cat's here, too.
Say hi. Yay. Oh, sweet little cat. What's your cat's name?
Her name's Opal.
Opal. And how do we get the name?
It came to me. She's gray. For those just listening, she's gray and beautiful. So she's Opal.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that because Opals kind of change and they're gorgeous and they can be lots of different shades. I love it. And how long has Opal been in your life?
Opal's been in my life maybe 4 months, 5 months. She's still a baby.
Hey, oh, that's so kid. There's nothing like kitten energy. Big kitten energy. That is so much fun. Yay. Okay. So you need to tell the listener, who is Eric David Ackerman, and how did you get to where you are today with this cute little kitten, Opal?
Eric David Ackerman is a kid from New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. My family is all from New York. I grew up doing theater. I grew up watching theater. I was privileged enough to be so close to New York City to get to see Broadway. And I grew up in the highest form of the art that I love. So I grew up performing, and I loved performing. I was a very shy kid. Very different than I am now. I have a big mouth. But as a kid, I would sing in my house and I wouldn't tell anybody I could sing. And I was just kind of crafting myself. I used to record myself on my phone and listen to myself and kind of coach myself through things. Then to one day get the courage to start singing in front of people. And then ever since then, since like fourth grade, I had a solo and chorus. And since then it kind of just took off. And now I'm a singer, actor, recording artist.
Okay, we're going to get to all three of those pieces of the puzzle. But why did you finally decide, Shy Eric, why did you decide to be in choir in fourth grade? And how did you get the solo? Did you have to audition?
Yes, of course. Well, I started doing choir because in elementary school, we used to go to Dorney Park at the end of the year if you were in fourth or fifth grade. So I just wanted to go to the amusement park. I wanted to ride roller coasters. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And I've always been a creative kid. I loved art classes. I loved singing. So I just wanted to be in a more creative space. I wanted to be in a space that's fun. It was colorful and it was collaborative. So I just wanted to be there. And then ever since I was in choir, I would sing with everybody. And then at home, I would sing by myself until I got the courage to go for it.
I love that you just said three things. It was fun, it was colorful, and it was collaborative.
Yeah.
What fourth grader thinks about collaboration? Where in the universe does that come from, my friend?
I don't know. I'm just chatty. I like to chat.
You've always been, but okay, so how did you get then from being shy singing in your house? Did choir open you up, or was it just growing up that started to open you up? And where did you go from fourth, fifth grade choir to get to where you are now as an actor, singer,
and... I had one friend who I went to camp with who now lives in Savannah as well. And I would send her the videos of me singing. She was the only person I would sing for. I would wait till my parents would like leave, or I would sing really quietly in my room so nobody would hear me. And she was one who was like, you should be singing more. You should do a talent show. You should do this. And I was too scared for that. But I thought like an 8-bar solo was my way to go. So I just decided to rip the bandaid off, and I was like shaking, super pale. Even during the performance, there's a video, I'm like ghostly white, and I'm like little, like definitely 4 feet tall, super high voice, just singing like this with my shoulders up by my ears. I just decided to go for it. And ever since then, it's been easier and easier.
That's awesome. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. So you get through middle school, high school. Why did you choose to go to SCAD?
It was a very interesting journey. It was kind of a leap of faith moment. I always wanted to go, ever since I was like a sophomore, junior, even freshman, I wanted to go to school for musical theater, ever since I learned that that was a thing that I could do. And I always wanted to do the schools in New York. I wanted to do Pace, NYU, or I wanted to go to UMich because I had seen their videos on YouTube. And I was like, these are great schools for musical theater and Broadway. And I decided to look at one school in Savannah as like a backup school. I was like, in case I don't get into these big musical theater conservatory schools, I'm going to look at this school called SCAD because it had pretty dorms. That's how I found college. I would look at dorm tours and I would say, who had the nicest dorms? Nice. And I actually toured it for interior design, which is like my other passion. I love to decorate and be in nice, fun, cute spaces. Hence why I was watching dorm tours. Mm-hmm. But I toured SCAD as just an interior design student in case I wanted to go a different route, which is totally fine too. But I actually had a friend who went to camp with me as well. I did not go to theater camp, but it was totally a theater camp. Like there was just like drama at the camp and also like rock climbing, swimming. We just all did drama. So it was like fake theater camp. One of my theater friends from theater camp who went to NYU, did the musical theater school track, knew Professor Jasky, because Professor Jasky, who is our now co-chair, he used to teach at a school in New Jersey called the Petty School, and he taught musical theater and theater. So it was a very weird small world connection where my friend Julia from home had saw that I was at SCAD just touring on social media. And she said, oh, I have a professor that just started there. You should connect with him. And this was already after I had left, but I emailed him and we kind of stayed in touch. And then the pandemic hit and he invited me to Zoom musical theater meetings. And I just felt good. I had never seen any of the facilities. I didn't know anything about the program. And I applied and I just took a leap of faith and I applied. We have like little scholarships at SCAD for every major. It's called the SCAD Challenge. I applied for that. I won first place for that. I was just like, oh, okay. And I felt really special. With the other schools, I felt like I was just kind of a number, which is how the industry is. But I just felt special and the place felt special and Savannah felt special. So I decided to just take a leap of faith and come here. And it worked out, I think.
Oh my gosh, it's totally working out. You fit perfectly here. It's such a great place. I always say the students at SCAD are like unicorns. All y'all are so insanely talented. And each of you is your own individual unicorn. It's so much fun. But it's interesting. Everyone's story of getting here is so different than the other schools that you named, because it is such a personal experience with everyone who gets here. And that's so fun. Okay, so then when did you start writing your own music?
Yeah. I would like write songs casually in like high school. And it was during the pandemic when I was just like sitting at home, like all of us, and I was bored. I wasn't like knitting or like doing all the other things people were doing. I was just like, I want to write a song and put it out there. And I had a friend in high school who did sound for our musicals and I was friendly with him and he was in band. So band and choir kids, you know, we're always like kind of friends or enemies, but we were friends. And we just decided to like get together during quarantine, during the summer. And we made this song together and I just thought I would put it out there. I didn't even post about it online. I just kind of was like, and then on my story, I was like, I released a song, go listen. And then I realized I loved it. I loved to write music. I loved to put it out there and actually not, you know, just willy-nilly sing a song in my head. I actually put something into the world and I just kept doing it.
So do you think your inspiration, because I've listened to your latest album, we're going to talk about that in a second and I'm so excited. But do you like, do you think you're more influenced by the creating of the lyrics and the writing of the song, or is it coming from your musical theater background, or where is it coming from? Where did all the pieces come together to so that you knew how to do it?
I think at first it was definitely from my musical theater background and listening to musical theater songs, especially contemporary, like smaller composers. I used to like scroll the internet and just look for songs for myself just to sing in like voice lessons or, you know, around. So I had listened to all this contemporary pop musical theater, and it kind of ended up inspiring me. I used to write songs completely not about myself. I used to just create a scenario or a scene or a situation, and I would write a slightly more pop musical theater song. I feel like they couldn't, maybe some of them that I used to write could be performed on stage. They were definitely pop, but they were really, I think, just came about from listening to other contemporary musical theater.
And so where do you get your lyrics from? You said you originally were creating stories. When did that change?
I think as I grew up, as I became an adult, I think at first I really would just make up scenarios and like create this like character of myself and write these songs, which I still think were great. And I used to tell people, I'd be like, this is not about me, I promise. Cause some of them were probably like, what is going on? But now I feel like you live life and you fall in love, you fall out of love, or you see other people fall in love. Even some songs on my album are not true, or they're not about me. They're just about things that I've seen or experienced in movies or theater. And I still do that. I still will make up a scenario, but now usually they will come from more personal parts of my life.
And do you record all, like, I know you do the singing, but do you do all the instrumentation too? And who mixes? And let's get into this collaborative thing. Cause I feel like you have some really good tips for collaborating.
Yeah. I love to collaborate. I like to collaborate small. I like to be in a small group of people or just two people. So my album, and my previous music that I've made throughout college, the past 4 years, have all been made with my friend Chris Stuker, S-T-U-C-K-E-R, very talented musician. He and I produce and create the music, and he is a sound design major, and he will mix and master everything. And we have been making music, again, for the past 4 years, and I feel like we have developed a sound together, and I'm so sad to be graduating and to be leaving Chris. I'm going to hope we end up in the same city. Because he's such a great collaborator. But I feel like when making music, it's can be really hard to find somebody who understands your style and your sound, especially if you're not completely independent. I produced some of my album. I produced about half of it, but I always have somebody else who is like a master musician add on top of it, because I can't play beautiful guitar. I can like strum a few chords, but I can't do what some people can do. And that's where I think collaboration is really important. I think finding somebody who has strengths that you lack to create one piece that is strong is really important.
Right. That's super quotable. Finding someone who has strengths and then that you don't have. To create what?
Something amazing. I don't know. Something great. Something strong.
Something strong. That's so good. Where did you meet Chris? How does someone get started finding their person to collaborate? What are your tips for that?
I met Chris. I actually was really lucky. I had a friend who Chris was dating at the time, and she was like, my boyfriend makes music. You guys should meet. And I was like, okay. But I think at such a school, especially like SCAD, but if you're at a place that's creative, there are people in your building, in your classrooms that want to create with you. And I think if you ask, because I didn't know Chris, I just went up to him. Luckily, I had sort of a nudge from my friend. But I just asked if he wanted to make one song together. And I just formed it as in, let's create it together. And then it kind of became this friendship and relationship of making music. But I think it's really, you just have to ask people in your field. I feel like they're everywhere, especially here. People who want to create are everywhere. And especially at college and when we're all trying to build up something of ourselves, it's not going to cost you $1,500 like it would in the real world to have your song professionally created and mastered. People want to do it. We're all just trying to build ourselves up. So it's a great place to collaborate for free or for really inexpensively. You just have to ask.
I think that's the key there. And it's funny hearing shy Eric now saying, oh, I just went up and asked, because that sometimes can be such the hardest part.
It is the hardest part, even for me, who's still very chatty. It's super anxiety ridden to ask people to help you to do something that you want to do, but people will most likely say yes.
And you never know unless you ask, which we're going to come back to this, how you have balanced everything that you're doing and being a senior, but we're going to come back. So you record this one song with Chris, and there was an album before the one that just dropped, right?
Yes.
Okay. What was that album?
That album was a little interesting. I'm like, okay. I think I'm going to pull it off of the internet.
Why?
Well, no, I think I am super proud of that body of work. I think it was something, I think it shows really good growth. And that's why I also kind of like that it's still out there. My friends or even other people will listen to both and they're like, wow, you're a completely new artist in sound, writing, voice, professionalism, all the things. So I think it's a fun watching my journey. But now that I'm leaving the nest, I think I might pull it off of streaming services. So if you guys want to listen, you have like 3 more months, listen to it. Yeah, that album was made with Chris and one other friend of mine. But it was just, I was really ambitious during my freshman year and it was still COVID. And we couldn't, you know, go like into buildings. We couldn't go into the dining hall together. So I would just kind of lock myself in my room and write and record music. And I think it was a really fun, ambitious project that I did because I did it very fast. And I think sometimes that shows. I wish I spent a little more time with it. But I do think it was like younger Eric and he really wanted to like make something. And all I wanted, I was like, I want an album. And I did it. And I was really proud of myself for doing it because now after that, I make more and I have EPs and singles. But yeah, that was like my first baby.
You have to love on that. Like, that's the best part. Like, you have to take the leap somewhere. And of course, the first one's not going to be perfect. But if you don't ask and if you don't put it out there, there's no way to grow. What a great story in and of itself.
Yeah. I want to like pull a Taylor Swift and re-record it. I really want to like redo it.
Eric's version.
Because I think it's still really good. But, you know.
Yeah, later.
Experience.
You have time.
Greatest hit.
Yeah, later, greatest album. I am dying to talk about Spiraling because what attracted me to this latest drop was not just the clips that you were giving us on social media, which were so good. Erase Me. And you posted the video this morning of one of my favorites, Hard to Love.
Hard to Love. I just posted it. Yeah, like an hour
ago. You posted
ago.
That this morning. Oh, okay. Well, it came up on my story when I was like taking time before our recording started. And I'm like, oh, this is one of my favorite ones. Because did you record that at Tybee?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, that's Tybee. I can tell. I love my home. That was beautiful. But this album, I loved all of the like the buildup that you gave us on social media for it coming, the huge release party, the viewing party. I mean, this was more than just an album. This was like a full concept experience, better than the Beatles or the Beach Boys or something. So give us some insight into this. How long have you been working on it? What was the goal? Did you reach it? That type of stuff.
So Spiraling, this project, it started with 2 songs that were going to be on a different EP. And then I wrote something else that changed the tone. And then I went through a tough breakup and it became a whole nother beast. And it became really personal and really attached to my heart. So it started with 2 songs. It was Way Too Trusting and Who Done It. And I just were writing these songs for fun. I wanted to just, you know, do another EP. It was after I had an EP that just released. And that was about like 2 years ago when I started writing this. And then I, you know, experienced some more life, wrote some more songs, and they were really personal and it changed the whole vibe of this album. And then it was a time where I kept writing. I was writing so many songs and it was like overwhelming because I would record half of one and then record another one. I was just feeling so creative in a time where I was struggling emotionally, but I've never been more creative in my life. Mm-hmm. And it became something that I felt so personal about. And I was proud of what I was producing because I was producing a lot of the instrumentals. I was, you know, coming to my friend Chris, who we talked about, instead of coming to him with a melody, I was coming to him with a song that he could add to. And it was, I feel like, a culmination of learning for me in music itself and also living life. So I decided to really put the amount of creative energy into this album that I did because I was so proud of what it was. I didn't want people to just see it on social media and be like, oh, cool. And maybe listen to it on their phone or just throw it on. I really wanted people to experience what I was creating because I had put so much into it and so much time. There's one song, Kiss and Go, the song I wrote in my sophomore year of high school. I wrote the chorus of, and I had found it on my phone a few months ago, or like a year and a half ago. And I was like, this is great. And I rewrote it to fit what I was going through. I don't know how the 16-year-old Eric knew what 20-year-old Eric was going through, but I did. So it was a culmination of years of music. And I really decided to make something out of it. So at first I wanted to do just like a listening party and have some cool visuals, no like music videos, because I thought that that would be too ambitious. I was like, I don't have time for that. I can't do that. I can't pull that off. And then I met, you know, some film students on a short film, and they were interested in making music videos. So I was like, you know what, let's do it. I want to do something visual to present this album. Let's try a music video. And after that, I went, oh, I can make really cool things. Let's try another one. Let's do another one. And I had other friends in film. Luckily, as performing arts students, we have a lot of friends in film. Mm-hmm. I just met another film friend who we just started filming things, and some things I filmed on my own. And I edited almost the entire thing myself, every video I edited. And it became a 42 minute film. You know, it was no longer just some visuals to listen to in a nice room where there's good speakers, which was my original intent. I just really wanted people to like hear the quality of music on a good sound system other than your phone. And then it became, I want to create an experience to tell the story in a really cool visual way.
So you worked with how many different film students?
I actually didn't work with that many. I worked with a duo, Hannah Setzler and Lucas. They make beautiful work. They're amazing. So I worked with them on 3 or 4 videos. And then I worked with Eddie Garcia, who just recently graduated. He's a film student, and he helped film a lot of things, a lot of the videos. And then Alexa Tabbert, who graduated 2 years ago, who had been working in Savannah in the real industry, and she filmed Hard to Love, the last video. And then 2 of them, I filmed myself, me and my boyfriend. I have camera equipment because I also love photography. And I was just like, I want to film these. Let's just do it. And I filmed some of them myself.
Wow.
And I did this movie, and I edited it all myself on my laptop. And yeah.
What a fun experience. Okay, so would you do it all again?
I would do it all again. It was so fun.
Okay, do you think there's future plans? Is this going to be what your claim to fame is, or where do you see your career going from here?
I think this body of work, and especially why I also wanted to put so much into this, was I wanted to leave school with a really good packet of my best. So us film or us acting majors or just other schools, vocal majors, you'll have a reel, you'll have a performance reel, you'll have a demo reel. And I wanted to make that equivalent for the music industry, which was music videos. So I wanted to be able to go into a manager's office or a record label's office and present, here's what I have. And since I don't have, you know, like I don't come from like a family of like people with connections in the music industry, or I don't have like years of experience performing at little bars. I have just myself, and I have a dream, and I have ambition, but now I also have tangible quality work that I can present and say, here's what Eric David Ackerman can do if you give him the chance. And I just wanted to be able to present something really cool to people in the industry.
So for someone who's listening, who like, your story is awesome. I'm so excited to share it. And I'm really pumped about Spiraling. Like, it's such a great album. Y'all go download it. It's everywhere. But hey, what is your advice for someone who's listening that's thinking, there's always something that I've dreamed or visioned of doing? How did you just get started? Was it just luck, or what is your advice to someone listening?
Yeah, I think I everybody says it, and it annoys me too, but you just have to do it. And you have to do it at whatever scale that you're currently at. So again, we talked about my previous album before. That's the scale I was at. That's the knowledge I had. And that's where I was at. And that's what I released. And I was really proud of it at the time. And I'm still proud of it. But now the album I just released 2-3 years later is leaps and bounds better in every way, I feel. And I think you just have to start somewhere. And it's not going to be what you dream of, because it takes time. It takes practice. But when everybody says you just have to do it, it is true. And it doesn't mean you have to do it. Because again, I want to be a pop star. And everybody's like, just do it. And I'm like, great. Thank you. Thanks so much. But just do it means write a song. Find somebody to collaborate with. Create something that you're proud of. Or if you want to be an actor, film a scene. That's really easy to do. You can do it on your phone. Do it. You just have to do it. And then you have to watch it. You have to be okay with being your own critic. You don't have to put it out into the world if you don't want to. But you have to be able to take in what you're making, be able to critique it and see where you can improve, and take it upon yourself to improve. I think that's the best way to get started and succeed. You have to be the critic for yourself, and you have to be open and kind to yourself, but you have to be able to watch what you're doing and look at what you're doing and see. It's like if you're making a painting, you paint it, you look at it, and you see where you can improve. It's the same thing with singing or acting or dance or anything. You have to look at it, take a step back, and dive in again.
Oh, that's so good. This is great words of wisdom, Eric. I'm so glad you're sharing your story with us. All right, before we sign off, I always give the guest an opportunity. And you've given us some big stuff. Be your own critic. Just get started. Be where you are, like at your own personal scale. But what's the one thing that really matters, the one thing you want to illuminate into the world today?
I think you need to create. If you're somebody who wants to create, because not everybody wants to create, and that's okay. I think if, especially people listening to this podcast, if you want to create something, it has to be something for you and something you're proud of. It can't be, in my opinion, I don't think you can create something for a goal, because I feel like that just leaves too much opportunity for disappointment. I think if you create something because you want to, and you create it to the best of your abilities, you will be proud of yourself.
Oh my gosh, I'm so proud to know you. I can't wait to see where your career goes. Like, I'm going to be sitting on the sidelines, clapping and cheering for you so hardcore forever.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
All right, what did you think? Are you ready to find someone who can balance out your strengths and your weaknesses so you can make something stronger together? Are you excited for your dreams and your visions and to go try something creative or not? Just whatever you've been wanting to try. I hope this story of our good friend Eric here has motivated you to go do whatever it is you want to do, because the world is a better place with you in it. And we're so glad you're out there illuminating it. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and I'll see you next time.